We're holding on Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, the seventh line. The Mishnah had said, V'yesh schus toilet gimel shanim follow. We said that in the case of a woman who drinks the soda water and is in fact guilty of being mizaneh, so we said there can be a schus that suspends her punishment for a year, 2 years, even 3 years. So Gemara asks, schus demai. What kind of schus are we talking about? Ilem is schus de Torah. Do we mean that she may have the schus of having learned Torah? Can't ha'enim mitzvah v'oisi. When it comes to learning Torah, a woman doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to the extent that she needs to know what to do and what not to do. Then she has to do that. But there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah l'shma for a woman. That's only for men. We talked about yesterday a little bit that, yeah, over here, that the fact is, especially closer to our times, there's more, the Chofetz Chaim and later on our Rebbe and many other Gedolei Yisrael talked about the importance of being mechanech women nowadays, but still, that's more as a practical matter because they need to know, and nowadays in modern society, they're much more out in the public sphere, and therefore there's a lot more that they need to be reinforced with Torah and mitzvahs, therefore they need to learn it. But ultimately, you still have, for a woman, there's no mitzvah to learn Torah Shema. For a man, there's a mitzvah, even if he's not learning something where it's going to have any practical outcome. For example, he still has a mitzvah to learn it for a woman only to the extent that it's molding her character and her mind and telling her what to do and what not to do and so forth. So the Gemara is assuming at this point that that kind of thing would not be strong enough to save her from the punishment of a soita. So elos chus de mitzvah. So evidently, we have to be talking about the schus that she did a mitzvah. Well, the question is, schus de mitzvah mi magna kulahai, does the schus of a mitzvah save a person to that extent that even for 3 years, for example, it could suspend her punishment? Well, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, says, zu darasha Menachem bar Yosi. Rabbi Nachman bar Yosi gave a drasha like this. The posuk says, ki ner mitzvah v'soda or, the mitzvah is like a lamp and the toda is like the light of the lamp. So Tola HaKosav is a mitzvah b'ner v'as a Torah b'er. So the Pasuk is associating the mitzvah with a lamp and the Torah with light. So what the difference being, as a mitzvah b'ner, loy malach, when we compare a mitzvah to a candle or to a lamp, then it tells us, ma ner eni magina ela l'fisha, just like a lamp only protects a person for a little while, or you have a different girsa that it says on the side over here, not magina, protects, but Me'ira lights, a lamp shines for a certain amount of time, and then eventually it runs out of fuel and goes out. So af mitzvah in a megina elo fisha, the same way a mitzvah protects only for a certain little amount of time. There's a Torah ba'ur, and then the Torah is compared to the light, lo malach, ma'ur megin la'olam, just like light protects or shines forever, af Torah, megina la'olam, the same way Torah protects a person for the same way a person in the same way Torah protects a person forever. So therefore we see that a mitzvah, the schar of a mitzvah would not be strong enough to protect a person in the longer term. But Omer, and we have another pasuk that expresses a similar point. The pasuk is beis halach latancha oischa v'gomer, and the pasuk says, when you go, it will lead you. And this is talking about the Torah. The pasuk continues, when you lie down, it will protect you. And when you wake up, it'll speak with you. So that means those phrases mean when you walk, it will lead you on the way. That refers to Olam Hazeh, that the Torah will lead you in the right way in Olam Hazeh. Marsha points out also the word word tancha can also be related to the word minucha, meaning that that Torah will help you have minucha and rest from all the potential tzaris that a person might have in this world. B'shoch b'chatishmer alacha zumisa, when it says when you lie down, it will. When you lie down, it will protect you. That refers to when a person passes away, that the Torah continues to protect his neshama then. And when it says, when you wake up, that means lost lover, then it will speak with you. So even so a person learned Torah, then even by Tchias HaMesim, the Torah will speak up on your behalf and be Malamed Schos on you. So we see that only Torah has that power, not mitzvahs. And he continues, Moshal Adam Shoy Mahalach Be'ishin Laila Va'afela, a Moshal of a person who's walking in the dim darkness of light. Ishin and Afela are both words that mean darkness. He's afraid of a lot of different things. I mean, he's afraid of thorns, that he might stumble into a thorn bush and not realize it, and from pits and holes in the ground, and from barconim, which are a different kind of thorns. He's also afraid of wild animals and of robbers. And on top of that, the any day, the Eze Derech Mahalach, he doesn't even know what road he should be going on because it's so dark. So now, Nizdam Nalo Yavuka Shal'er, if now he manages to get a hold of a torch, Nitzom and Akotzim and Apchosim and Abakonim, so now that saves him from the first few things. It saves him from the thorns and the holes and the other kind of thorns, because now he can see his way to stay away from them. But he still has reason to be afraid of wild animals and of robbers, because even the fact that he's carrying a torch may not be enough to scare them away. They prowl at night, after all. And he still doesn't really know what way to go on. So the mitzvah is like a torch. So a torch helps. So the same way as we're saying, in other words, that so mitzvahs help to a certain extent. They help. They help to protect him from some of the potential dangers in life. Then when dawn breaks, then he's saved from the chayra and from the robbers, because then at that point they don't prowl around by day anymore. Once it's morning, then the wild animals go and hide back in their dens, and the criminals also mostly go and hide out. It actually, by the way, brings in this connection. You know, you have the pasuk toshes choshech vihi loyla. We have in Baruch Hanafshi. Yeah, you make it dark and it becomes night. Boy sumus kol chay seyar. Then all of the wild animals of the forest prowl around, but by day they don't. In fact, you have the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which also refers that to criminals, that it means not just four-legged wild animals, but also two-legged ones. But anyway, by day, by day usually you don't have to worry about them. So far so good. But he still doesn't know what road he should be walking on. Then when the person finally reaches a crossroads, now he's saved from all of them, because now that he's at a crossroads, now he recognizes what road he's on. So therefore that helps him, and now he's safe from all the possible things. So Mar Shah explains that in some detail over here, that you have, when a person is going in his life through Olam Hazeh, there are a few different things that are going to prevent him, that potentially could prevent him from reaching the shleimus that he's supposed to. You have gashmistika problems like that, which are like the thorns. Which includes the thorns also represents, for example, the difficulties making parnasa. We find, for example, Hashem punishes Adam and he tells him that the ground is going to grow thorns and things for you, and you're going to have a hard time making a living. The holes in the ground, the prosim, refers to yisurim. The prosim actually refers, he says, not yisurim, actually he says prosim refers to, for example, a person might be an epidemic or something, and he dies and ends up in the grave in a hole in the ground. The barconim, another kind of thorns, represents the swords of enemies, so that might attack him. So all of those are the danger that a person might be exposed to. So now, then he goes on to say, so now we're saying that ultimately, so mitzvahs protect against those kinds of problems, but not long term. But then he goes on to say, now you also have, a person has a yetzahara, or you may have a chavera, a bad friend who gives him bad advice. So that's what we're saying. He still has to be worried about chayera and listim. That represents those two. Then we're saying eventually as he goes through life in the schus of Torah, he will be, he'll be, eventually comes dawn and he's saved from those. dawn represents. In other words, that he has light of Torah in his neshama, and therefore that helps keep those away. But you still have then that he still doesn't know the right way to go. And then only when he comes to Parshas Drachim, which the Gemara is going to explain soon what that means in the Mashal, only then is he going to actually know that he went on the right way, and where he's going from now on.
So with all the above, here you have someone who's not allowed, while they're going to Beis Din, they're not allowed to live together. And here you're saying that she can live a year or two with him together, where she's
married
to someone else.
So the vote would be that the fact is she's not also to her husband. This is how the Rambam passes it. She's not also to her husband until the actual v'tzavtza bitna v'nafla yerecha begins. Only when that begins, that her stomach starts swelling and her thigh starts falling off, only then is she also to her husband, because that definitively shows that she was Tomei, and that's what, and anything that happens before that, we did say before, and we're going to discuss in later Dafin, that if she has schus, then it's toila for her, so she starts already physically deteriorating, but nevertheless, she still stays alive for a year or 2 years or 3 years, as we're saying, during that time, she actually is mutter to her husband, because the fact is, the Torah gives us the Mesota. Once she drank it and she survived, then that's by definition, she's mutter to her husband. It may be that in fact she was Mizana. Fine, eventually, when the Tzav Tzabitim, enough the Yerecha, starts happening, at that point, then she'll be also to her husband, but not before that.
When you go into Bezdin, they're also not supposed to be together.
That's true. And from when she becomes a Sota, they're not allowed to be together. That's true. But now that she drank the Sota water, then she's mutter to her husband again until such time as. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, continuing the Gemara. So that's the metaphor. Dover Acher continues the Braisa, continues the Menachem Rabbi Yosi. Aveda Mechaba Mitzvah. Another point about the difference between Torah and Mitzvahs. And Aveda can put out, can extinguish the reward for a mitzvah, just like you have. In other words, the comparison is we said the pasuk compares a mitzvah to a lamp and Torah to light. So a fire can put out a lamp, or can put out a lamp. So the same way, an avera a person does will cause him to lose the schar. Will cause him to lose the schar for his mitzvah. The ein avera mechaba Torah, but an avera cannot extinguish the reward that a person gets min hashamayim for learning Torah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chaba sasa'ava, as the pasuk says, many waters cannot extinguish the love. And we're talking about the fact that a yid learns Torah, where it actually brings from earlier psukim in Shir Hashirim, where ava refers to when a person learns Torah. So that shows, in other words, since Sahir, Marsha points out, of course, many times Torah itself is compared to water. But here we're saying the love, the fiery love that a person has for Hashem, that with which he learns Torah. So therefore, that's compared to fire. And he brings from further on in that pasuk in Shir Hashirim from Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu L'Chabas Ava, it continues Ki Aza Kamavas Ava, that love is as strong as death. That means that it overpowers the Yetzahara, which is the Malach Hamavas, and so on and so forth. And he goes on to say, so that's another point. So far we have, in other words, the Menachem Rabbi Yossi is saying there are a few things. Number one, a mitzvah is only a temporary thing, just like a lamp only shines for a little while. Number two, the Torah helps a person navigate through life, like that mashal of a person walking in the darkness, where eventually when it comes Amud HaShachar, which refers to Torah. So first he has the torch, which represents the mitzvahs. Then he has Amud HaShachar, which lasts him long term, which is like Torah. And third of all is the difference is that a mitzvah can be the effect of it can be overcome by an avera, but the effect of Torah cannot. So with all of that, we see that only Torah is able to protect a person long term. So how can the Mishnah be saved? And again, back to the question, the Sota, how is she being saved from a schus of mitzvah for up to 3 years?
She's not mechoyim.
Right. So Torah, we said she's not mechoyim, and mitzvah shouldn't have that long term effect. So Amar of Yosef, it's like this: mitzvah beidna de osikba. when it, the difference is like this. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi is saying that a mitzvah works for only a while. What that means is when a person is occupied with doing the mitzvah, magna, then the mitzvah, the schus of the mitzvah protects him from yisurim, umatzla, and it also saves him from the yetzahara. So right there, he has a defense against the yetzahara. The idna deloy osikba, but when he's not being osik in the mitzvah, when he did it in the past, and it's just we just have the schar now that he's going to get for the future, aguni magna, that mitzvah may protect him from yisurim atzuli loy matzla, but it doesn't protect him from the yetzahara. So that's what we mean, that the mitzvah protects him only for a little while. We thought Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi means protects him from Yisurim. Now we're saying that no, the effect of the mitzvah will protect him longer term, but it won't prevent the Yetzirah from getting back at him because he did a mitzvah in the past. Therefore, so now, yes, she's very susceptible still to the Yetzirah. In the moshul, we still have that there's still the chaya ra and listim and the thorns and all that. So all it is the torch, we're saying, saves the person from the thorns. The same way, even when he's finished doing the mitzvah, nevertheless, the effect of it remains like a torch and still continues to protect him from those various yisurim and problems like that. So Tosfos says on that. Tosfos asks on that. Then in that case, then what did the beginning of the Braisa mean when it said that a lamp protects only for a little while from the Yetzirah? We're saying it doesn't protect at all, only during the time he's actually doing the mitzvah. That's not really comparable to a lamp. And if you say that it protects from Peronis, we're saying it does protect longer term. So the point is, though, but that's what we're saying, is that the mitzvah, Rabbi Yosef is saying so far, that the mitzvah continues to protect the person after the fact, but protect from Yisurim, not from the Yetzirah. Torah, ben the idna de osikba, ben the idna de loyosikba, whereas the Torah, whether during the time that he's occupied with it or the time that not, magna umatzla, it protects him from Yisurim and saves him from the Yetzirah. So therefore, so that answers the question. And so Rabbi Yosef says, so in that case, this woman, yes, the mitzvah can protect her longer term. It can protect her for as much as 3 years. It's only a mitzvah, not Torah. Fine, we're saying that a mitzvah can protect a person even past the time that he actually did the mitzvah. But Maskiflo Rabba, but Rabba asks on that, or on the side over here, it says that it should be Rava. Elameata, by that logic, if you're telling me that Torah protects a person from the Yetzirah, Elamata, Doyeg v'Achitofel, what about Doyeg and Achitofel, the two famous enemies of David, Miloy Aski v'Torah, weren't they learning Torah on a very high level too, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, Amayla Higina Alayhu. So why, according to your logic, Rabbi Yosef, why didn't the Torah protect them from the Yetzirah?
They actually did for a long time.
No, that didn't protect them from having Yetzirah. And in fact, first of all, they died young. They died at 33, 34 years old. But besides that, we're talking about that it didn't protect them from succumbing to the Yetzirah in the first place. So Tosfos Shantz says, actually, we don't really mean that the Gemara's, the Rabba's question shouldn't really be the word Hegina, because we said Hegina refers to Yisurim. What he really should be asking that it should have been Matzla, it should have saved them from the Yetzirah. We're saying the Torah, whether when a person is learning it, or even after he's, or even right when he's not right now learning it, then it saves him from the Yetzirah. But we see that Doeg and Achitofel didn't prevent them from becoming Roshoyim Gemurim. So how does that fit? So Ella Omar Rava, Rava says that what it is like this Torah, a little bit differently than Rabbi Yosef had said. Torah be'idna de osikba, at the time when the person is occupied with Torah, magna umatzla, then yes, it saves it, it protects him from Yisurim and saves him from doing Averis. But be'idna de loy osikba, when he's not learning Torah, aguni magna, it continues to protect him from Yisurim, atzulu loy matzla, but it doesn't save him from Averis. Mitzvah, on the other hand, a mitzvah, ben be'idna de osikba, ben be'idna de loy osikba, whether even when he's doing the mitzvah, or even afterwards, aguni magna, it protects him from Yisurim, atzulu loy matzla, but it doesn't save him from succumbing to the Yetzirah. So that answers all the questions so far then. So because it protects from Yisurim, even after he's finished doing it. Therefore, the sota can be saved by the course of a mitzvah for up to 3 years. On the other hand, when it comes to Torah, when he's not learning Torah, then it doesn't save him from the Yetzirah. Doeg and Achitofel, Rava is saying, we're not learning Torah full time. They were learning Torah many times, but ultimately they weren't always. So therefore, they still were susceptible to the Yetzirah, and the Taka did go with it and ended up becoming Rishoyim. And then they died. Marsha points out, okay, we're saying that Torah saves a person, Torah and mitzvahs save a person from Yisurim, we're saying, but after all, eventually a person's time comes to die. And in their case, that time came earlier than expected.
What was a quick story with them?
So this is a story with them briefly. Doeg was the head of the Sanhedrin in Shaul's times. He's the one who said Lashon Hara about first of all Bechlal to begin with when Shaul was first looking for a musician to play music because he's having fits of depression or whatever, Ruach Ra. So Doeg speaks in a way that's on the one hand complimentary to David, but is also meant to make Shaul jealous of him. And later on he became David's out enemy. And later on, when David was running away from Shaul and went and hid out in Noiv, Doeg goes and says Lashon Hara that the Kohen Gadol Achimelech is in cahoots with David. He's helping him out when he's a fugitive from Shaul, and the result was that they wiped out the whole city of Noiv, the Irakoyanim. As far as Achitofel, he was David's advisor for many years, but then eventually, when Avshalom revolted against David, he's the one who advised Avshalom. We had earlier in the Masechta, he's the one who told him to have relations with the Pilagshim to demonstrate that he's the new legitimate king, which is a serious avera. And then the upshot of it was that Achitofel eventually he gave advice to Avshalom how to kill David. His advice wasn't accepted. He realized that the rebellion is going to fail, and he went and killed himself. So that's the story with them briefly. Yeah. So that explains it. Then the Gemara says, Ravina Omar, Ravina gives a different explanation. La'olam schus Torah. After all, we are talking about, let's go back to the original question. The original question was, what kind of schus can protect the woman for 3 years? So we were saying, it can't be schus of Torah because you're not mitzvah voiser. So it has to be schus of mitzvah. But then that led us into this whole discussion over here that on the face of it, mitzvahs don't protect a person for that long. So now Ravina is going to give a different answer. We are talking about schus Torah. To begin with, we are talking about where she has the schus of having learned Torah, not just the mitzvahs. So now, based on Rabbi Yossi's moshul, we see that Torah has longer term effect. So therefore, that neatly explains why it'll save her for 3 years. So now you objected that 1 second, a woman is not chayiv in learning Torah. How can that schus protect her? So Ravina says, it's true that she doesn't have a mitzvah of learning Torah herself, but she has the schar that she takes the trouble to make sure that her children go to cheder to learn the mikrion, to go and learn mikra, which is Tanakh, and misnion, to learn Mishnah. So she makes sure that the kids go to school. She brings them there. The notrin lahula gavrayu ad osu mi bei medrusha, and that they wait up late for their husbands till they come back from the Beis Medrash. So they're enabling that they themselves don't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they're enabling their sons and their husbands to learn Torah. Marsha, by the way, points out, of course, it's not like the father couldn't take the children to cheder either, but usually he's out working. The mother is more at home, so she's more able to take the kids to cheder. My Ben Yehoyada adds, you may even have the husband maybe out of town learning Torah, so in that case of necessity, the mother is sending them. Anyway, so in the schar of all that, Ravina says, "Milei pagon ba'adayu." Don't they divide the schar with their children and with their husbands? So therefore, yes, they have a schus of Torah to that extent, and that schus of Torah is what we're saying can save her from Puronus for up to 3 years. Okay, so we have two different answers. In short, one is that she has the schus of a mitzvah, and a mitzvah can protect the person for a while after it's done. We said aguni magna, even when he's not doing the mitzvah, it can still continue to protect him from Yisurim. It just doesn't save him from succumbing to the Yetzirah. And then the second answer we're saying is that Bechlau, we could be talking about she has the schus of Torah. This is the same reason, by the way, why in a Mishnah Berurah, when a girl is born, the Rebbe Rashab said that we should say that you got Lul Torah, Lachup, Lamaisim Tovim, then in many, many Nuschos, they don't have the word Latorah because based on all Gemara and other Gemaras, women don't have a mitzvah, Talmud Torah, Lashma. But the Rebbe Rashab said, and this is how it's brought in the Siddur, and it's brought in Hayom Yom, that we do say Latorah because based on this Gemara and another similar Gemara in Brachas, that says they do in fact have a schar of not so much of learning Torah themselves, but of helping out their sons and their husbands to learn Torah. Okay. Now we left one thing unexplained in Menachem Rabbi Yossi's Moshel before. We had before that first the guy is afraid of thorns and pits and of wild animals and robbers, and he doesn't know what way to go. Then we said first he has a torch, then he has Alois HaShachar. Now all he's left with, he doesn't know which way to go. And then we said he comes to Parashas Drachim, he comes to a crossroads, then Nitzel Mikulon, he's saved from all of them. So the Gemara asked, my Parashas Drachim, what do we mean? What does Menachem Rabbi Yossi mean in his Moshel when he refers to a crossroads? So Amar Rav Chista says, Talmid Chacham Yom Misa. This refers to a Talmid Chacham when he actually dies. So he spent his whole life doing Torah and mitzvahs. Now, when he comes to the crossroads, when he's about to go onto a different road, onto Olam Haba, then he can be sure that that now he's been doing things right his whole life. Up till then, Altamin Batz Machad Yom Misa. You can't trust yourself until the end. Yeah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Zat Talmid Chacham Yiras Chet. It refers to a Talmid Chacham who also has Yiras Chet. He also has the Maila of Yiras Chet, which comes, and the Alter Rebbe talks about it in a few places in Tanya. We had it not so long ago in the daily Shiurim of Tanya, that there are different levels of Yira. There's a type of Yira that's a prerequisite for learning Torah, and then there's another kind that comes as a result of learning Torah. So we're talking about that higher level of Yira. So when a person has that, therefore that helps protect him. That's like the crossroads where now he knows. Now Rashi explains the Torah teaches him what to do and what not to do and what to stay away from. And the Yiras Chet makes him actually take that seriously and taka not try to follow his taivus. So therefore that can be compared to a crossroads where now from now on he knows the straight road to go on. Mazutra gives a third answer. We're talking about a Talmid Chacham who has the schus of being able to come to conclusions that are correct al pi halacha. Meaning, in other words, so like this, you had when a person was zoicha to Torah, then it helps save him from the Yetzirah, but he still doesn't know, is he going to have siyata d'shmaya, that he is going to, that what he says in Torah will be accepted by his colleagues, that they're going to accept that what he's saying is correct. Now, when he comes to Parashas Drachim, when he has the schus of that Hashem gives him that special siyata d'shmaya, now he knows that now he's going in the right way, in the right approach of learning, and his approach is being accepted. So now Tosfos asks, didn't we just say a few lines ago that a person is saved from the Yetzer Hara only when he's learning Torah? Once he's not learning Torah anymore, then the protection from the Yetzer Hara goes away. Tosfos says the fact is a Talmid Chacham is usually Torosa Yumnosa. He's constantly thinking about it and so forth. He doesn't go even Dalet Amos below Torah. And therefore, in that sense, even when he's not actively sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning right now, he's still learning mentally. And therefore, that helps protect him from the Yetzer Hara. And since he also has that special Siyata D'Shmaya, which, for example, speaking of Doyeg, Ganach Tofel, for example, the Gemara tells us they didn't have that ability. Hashem didn't give them that ability. On the other hand, David HaMelech had said Hashem did. So therefore, so such a person is more certain that he's going on the correct road. So then we said before Davar Acher. Then we said at the end of Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi's Braisa, we said Avera Machabat Mitzvah in Avera Machabat Torah. We said an Avera that a person does can put out, can extinguish the reward that he should get for the mitzvah, but it doesn't extinguish Torah. The fact that he learned Torah is still, even if he did Averas, he's still eventually going to get the schar for Talmud Torah. You know, to give an example of that, you have, for example, the famous story involving the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmud of his that he sends to daven mincha and wash his hands and learn some Torah in a certain spot in the fall. forest. And it turns out that there was this Yid who had lived there 160 years earlier, who had learned Torah for many years, but did Averis in the course of doing it. And he was like that for 30 years. And his nephew finally came and made him a Baal Teshuva. And then the guy was sentenced to Gehenim for over 100 years. It's a long story in Likutei Devarim. It's a long and somewhat well-known story. If you want, I'll show it to you later.
He used to go to the woods to
die. So, no, one-time thing. The Baal Shem Tov, about a year before he was in the Stalit, tells one of his Talmidim to go to a certain spot in the woods and then learn Torah over there and then daven mincha. And that was Milo, all the Torah that this guy, this Moshe, had learned 160 or whatever it is years earlier, where he learned Torah for many years in great depth, but as a Baal Averis. Anyway, the point is, so even though, he's over 100 years sentenced to Gehenim for his Averis, nevertheless, the source of his Torah was not extinguished. And now, after 100 odd years, then finally it came time for that to be elevated back to where it belongs, the Maila. So we see, in other words, therefore, that the Avera does not extinguish the Schar of Torah. Anyway.
Did anybody lose any money by the backside?
I have no idea. So Omer of Yosef, Daushir of Menachem Bar Yosi, Lahai Krok, he's Sinai. So Rabbi Yosef says, you should know, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi, Daushir this Pasuk, like Sinai, like the way it was given at Har Sinai, in other words, very clearly. He explained this Pasuk, Kinner Mitzvah Torah, oh, beautifully, with all of these, Mishalim, and in particular, this last point over here that we're saying that Avera can extinguish a mitzvah, but not Torah. The Umole Joshua Doyeg Vachitoifel Hochi, and you should know something, says Rabbi Yosef. If Doyeg and Achitoifel had been known to Daush in the Pasuk like that, Lo Rod for Bossa David, then they never would have pursued David, they never would have attacked David in the first place. In other words, so what happened? So Tosfos Shantz says actually Doyeg doesn't really belong over here, because what we're talking about is Achitoifel in particular, they had it in for David because of the story of Bathsheba. By the way, Bathsheba was actually Achitophel's great-granddaughter, but she was his granddaughter. But in any case, the point is, Achitophel and other enemies of David held it against him, the whole affair with Bathsheba, and the Gemara mentions in a few other places they were constantly harassing and attacking David, that look what a terrible Avera you did, and they thought that the Avera that David had done, at least on his level, had extinguished the source of his Torah, and therefore they figured he's vulnerable to them and they could attack him and they could defeat him, which is why Achitophel went over to Avshalom's side, we're saying. So if he had realized to douche in the Pasuk, like the way of Menachem Rabbi Yossi douches it, then he would have realized no matter what, David's schar minashamayim for the Torah that he learned is safe. And even if we want to say that what he did with Bathsheba was out and out wrong, I mean, b'chol, anyway, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that it wasn't technically an Aveda because Kosev get Krusus Leishtoi and all that. But even if you say, and for example, the Abarbanel says on the Psukim that David actually did, he was over on the Issu of Eishes Ish, just that he did tremendous Truva and Hashem accepted his Truva. But so even if you're going to say like that, or even if Achitophel thought that way, if he had realized, like Menachem Rabbi Yosi, that the source of David's Torah helps overcome that, the Aveira can't extinguish that, then they never would have pursued David and tried to harm him.
And the fact that they also learned
Torah, but they learned in a way. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that actually when they learned, they had tina belibam. They had like a mud in their heart that prevented the Torah from being absorbed properly because like they had midas rois. Yeah, but he was saying that in any case though, if they had realized that David has a schar for Talmud Torah, no matter for all the Torah that he had learned and taught over the years. Regardless, then they never would have harassed him in the matter of Bathsheba. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, they were saying about David, Lamer, they said, Hashem has abandoned him. And so they continue, as the Pasuk continues, Ridful b'sifsu kien matzol, chase after him and catch him because nobody's going to save him. So they figured nobody's going to save him because he has an Avera, Bathsheba, and therefore Hashem is not going to save him. They didn't realize that, in fact, Hashem will save him in the course of his Torah. So the Gemara says, "My."
Well, that's for David HaMelech. That's not for the simple human Jewish person.
No, not necessarily. But Pashtus, we're talking about any Yid on the level that he learns Torah. Now, what we're saying is, in other words, in this particular case, we know of Doyeg and Achitofel, or again, okay, Tosfos Shantz takes out Doyeg because Tosfos Shantz points out Doyeg passed away long before any of that happened. So we're talking about Achitofel then. But so in David's particular case, we know that he was a Tamid Chacham, but he had done an Aveira on some level or other. And we know that his enemies pursued him and figured, Achitofel particularly figured, that he could kill David and have done with it. He didn't realize, though, that David is being protected by the source of his Torah. And yes, a similar thing applies to other people who learn Torah, that they're protected in a similar way, that even they do an Aveira, still the source of their Torah still does not get extinguished, and they still, and Hashem still looks out for them because of that. So yeah, each person on their own level.
What's the good of learning Torah if it doesn't bring you to avoid averas? And what's
so
the good?
So that's the thing. There can be a person who learns Torah not lishma, and it doesn't protect them from averas. Then you can have a person, we said before in Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi's Marshall, that a person has Torah, it does protect him from the highest royce in the list. And we said from the Yetzirah and from bad friends, but still it can happen that a person still goes the wrong way. It can still happen with David HaMelech. Okay, you know, again, we're going to say that what he did was not a blatant Aveira, but in any case, you also have in that case Hashem tested him and so forth. Yeah, it is true, of course. A person ultimately is learning Torah has to be Lashma, and that's what helps him from the Yetzer Hara, just stand learning and absorbing more and more material, but not connecting with the Noisin HaTorah, not connecting with Hashem. Yeah, it's not going to help. But mitzvahs also have to be done because Hashem said so.
Maybe, there's a question here. You're saying that David HaMelech's chus was not taken away. Well, if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, his chus, in some extent, was taken away, although he learned more Torah than David HaMelech. He wasn't able to go to Eretz Yisrael.
And David HaMelech had his child passed away, four of them, and several of his children rebelled against him, and he had Saras and so forth. So there were consequences. But what we're saying is, Achitofel thought that it's not just that David suffered consequences, but eventually now we have the ability to pursue him and kill him because Hashem's not on his side anymore. They didn't realize Hashem still remains on David's side in the source of all the Torah that he had learned and taught over the years. That's what we're saying.
So why is the same thing didn't happen to Moshe Rabbeinu?
What do you mean the same thing didn't happen?
Hashem was very upset with Moshe Rabbeinu.
Hashem was very upset, and he got his consequences in this world. He didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, but other than that, his schar is left for the his schar is still intact. In fact, we learned at the end of the first parak, we had a couple of lines about that. We said Lachena Chalak Loi Barabim. Hashem said I'll give him a schar corresponding to the many Jewish people. Vesatzumim Michalik Shalal. He'll divide the spoils. The ruchniestik of spoils with the mighty ones with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he'll get a tremendous schar. We said over there that Hashem said to Moshe, you want to go into Eretz Yisrael because you want to be able to do the mitzvahs, the tatluyos ba'aretz, and get the schar. I'll consider it as though you did go into Eretz Yisrael, and you will get that schar. So he did in fact get his schar. Yeah. Okay, let's go on.
So you're saying that even though he's not buried in Eretz Yisrael, he says he has exactly the same schar. So why not let him be buried in Eretz Yisrael then?
As if he did the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, yes.
Why shouldn't he be buried in Eretz Yisrael then?
Hashem decided it. So again, we're not saying you're misunderstanding over here. I think we're not saying that when a person learns Torah,
I don't understand. There is a disconnect. There's a disconnect. Clearly, there's a disconnect. No. You cannot say it's a misunderstanding.
There's no disconnect over here. We're saying that a person's schar of Torah is not extinguished in the sense, in other words, that Hashem still has his back, so to speak, and still looks out for him and still protects him. There still have to be consequences for Averis. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, Hashem is not a Vatran. Hashem doesn't just let things slide. So there have to be consequences. In Moshe Rabbeinu's case, the consequence was, especially because there was Chil Hashem involved, that he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. In the case of David, it was Tzaras and the various other things that he had with his children, etc. What we're saying is that here, Doeg and Achitofel thought, or Achitofel particularly, thought that David has lost his connection to Hashem entirely as a result of his Aveira, and therefore he's vulnerable to them. And now we're saying, based on what Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yossi is saying, they were wrong in that he still had Hashem's protection. He would go through tremendous yisurim and all that, but nevertheless, he still has Hashem's protection. And if they had realized that, they wouldn't have tried to rebel against him and to kill him. Yeah. If you want, we'll talk about it further afterwards. So the Gemara says, "My Durush." Okay, so we have to ask, after all, Achitofel was a Talmid Chacham, so what did he daushin in the first place to think that the Aveda that David did would be enough to for him to lose Hashem's protection altogether? Well, the Pasuk says, V'lo yira b'cho ervas davar b'gomer. The Pasuk says, Hashem shouldn't see in you a matter of erva. And then the Pasuk continues, V'shov me'acharecha. And then Hashem would turn away from following you. So in other words, they figured, once David has done it by erva, then that's it. He's forfeited Hashem's protection. But they didn't know, as we just said, that the Aveda can only extinguish the reward of a mitzvah, but not the reward of Torah. And therefore, even if we say that what David did was a blatant Aveda, no, and in fact, after all, the Gemara says it wasn't, because Kol HaYotzeh L'Mechamah Space David and all that, nevertheless, it still wouldn't have been enough to extinguish the schus of his Torah, and he's still entitled to protection from Hashem, and therefore Hashem is going to look out for him and prevent them from being able to, he may be pursued by them. In fact, he did. He was forced off his throne for 6 months, but they're not going to be able to kill him. If Achitofel had realized that, he never would have gone over to Avshalom's side, and he never would have given Avshalom advice how to send a strike force to kill David.
Okay. So you're going to say the same thing about Korach also? His schus was intact?
Korach? So the same thing. Moshe went through a hard time with Korach, but eventually Korach got what was coming to him, and he still has his schar. Well, you have the machlokas, whether Adas Korach have their place in the Mabba. In the end, the Gemara says they do. Okay.
As if nothing had happened.
What? And not as if nothing had happened. He was swallowed up into the ground and burnt. That's pretty severe punishments. But still, he has his schar as kept for the Mabon. All right. Now, we quoted before in the Gemara, we quoted in Reb Menachem Rabbi Yossi's Braisa, we quoted the first half of the Pasuk, Maim Rabim Lo Yuchlo L'Chava Sa'ava, many waters cannot extinguish the love of Torah. So we said Torah, in that sense, is being compared to fire, and all the water of the Avedas cannot extinguish it. So now the Gemara says, let's douse in the last words of that Pasuk. My boys, Yavuzuloi. The Pasuk finishes off that if a person were to give all of the wealth of his household for this love, in the place of this love, boys, Yavuzuloi, they would make fun of him. So what's this expression, boys, Yavuzuloi? In particular, the question is why the double expression, boys, Yavuzu? So in other words, we're saying that if a person were to give all the wealth of his household on behalf of Torah, then the Yavuzuloi, they would make fun of it. So what do you mean? Well, they would make fun of him. What do you mean they'd make fun of him? The fact is, you should get a schar for supporting people who learn Torah, like Yisachar and Zvulun. So Amar Ola Loi Kishimin Achi Azaria. We don't mean, for example, when a person acts like Shimon, the brother of Azaria, who is mentioned in Mishneh in Zvachim, where Azaria, which is the father of Rav Elazar Azaria, by the way, was rich and he supported his brother Shimon in being able to learn Torah. So therefore, so that's like a Yisachar Zvulun partnership. And Azaria does get a share of the schar for Shimon's learning Torah. And in fact, for that reason, the Mishnah calls this Shimon Achi Azaria to highlight what his brother accomplished. The loy could Rabbi Yochanan debenasiya, also not like the way Rabbi Yochanan was being supported by the Nasi in order to be able to learn Torah full time. So those are not the kind of boys yavuzu loy. Those, the rich person, Azaria, or the family of the Nasi, they do in fact get a schar, and nobody would make fun of them for that. Ella kehilo v'shevna. Rather, we mean an example like the story of Hillel and his brother Shevna. By the way, Tosfos Shants over here and Tosfos elsewhere discusses the point that the original Shevna that we find in Sefer Yeshaya was a Rosha, and we're not supposed to name after Rishoyim. So Tosfos Shants over here and Tosfos elsewhere gives Tosfos elsewhere actually says maybe in fact the name should not be Shevna, but rather Shachna with a Chof instead of a Beis. And fine, Shachna is a legitimate name. You don't find a Rosha being named by that. See if it will work. Tosfos Shants over here gives a different answer, that there were actually two Shevnas in Chizkiyahu's time, and one was a Rosha, as mentioned in Sanhedrin, and the other one was a Tzadik. So therefore Hillel's brother Shevna could have been named after the other one. Anyway, whatever the case, the point is, so what happened was, the Chiosid of Dimi Yomu, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained what happened was, Hillel and Shevna Achiyavu, Hillel and Shevna were brothers, Hillel Osik Batorda, Shevna Ovid Iska, Hillel was learning Torah full-time, Shevna was doing business. L'soif Omalei Ha Tonerev, later on, after the fact, after many years had passed, where Hillel was learning Torah, and he was very poor, as we know from the famous story of him climbing up to the skylight over there. So Shevna says to him, come, let's make a deal, and then we'll divide it, we'll make a deal, I'll give you some of the money that I earned, that I earned, and then we'll divide up this schar of learning Torah, but it's too late. That's the kind of thing where now he'll be made fun of, because in other words, Shevna, you should have thought of that beforehand. When Hillel was starting out to learn Torah, you should have made a Yisachar's Zvulun partnership with him. You're going to tell him after the fact now, I'll give you half my wealth, and I want to share in your schar of learning Torah. That doesn't work. By the way, one more thing, by the way, Tosfos mentions over here to address that whole point of what happens as far as the schar and the onesh and whatever for a person's averus. Tosfos points out that we said before that a mitzvah does protect a person from puronus. So what do we mean, avera machaba mitzvah? What do we mean, on the other hand, that an avera can outweigh that? What we mean is that it means that it'll prevent it can in fact save him from yisurim, but it won't, it will prevent him from getting the schar loss in love. So just the opposite. In other words, the avera can extinguish the mitzvah to the extent where therefore he will be protected from yisurim in this world, but la'olam haba, he won't get the schar for that mitzvah because it was outweighed by the avera that he did later. Fine. Now, getting back to, we said in the Mishnah, we said that Ben Azay had said a person should teach his daughter Torah, because that way, we said, if eventually she becomes a soita and then she drinks the water and she survives it, then she'll know, she and other women will know that it's in the source of Torah, and that way they won't be moitzi laz, that way they won't come to question the effectiveness of the mei soita, and they won't think that, whatever. So, and then on the other hand, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, on the other hand, we said, Kolam labedes bitri Torah, melamda tifus. On the other hand, on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer had said that anybody who teaches his daughter Torah is teaching her tiflus, which we said in the Mishnah. Tiflus, Rashi had explained, meant Rashi elsewhere explained, it means more like znus. It means more like the things that can lead to znus. So we hear Rashi explains it means more like craftiness and slyness. The Rambam explains that tiflus means more like silliness, like a person doesn't take the words of Torah seriously enough. So the Gemara asks, Tiflus Sakadaidav. Still, how can you say that teaching Torah is teaching Tiflus? The fact is, Torah itself is not Tiflus. Ela ema ki'ilu linda Tiflus. So rather, it means as if he's teaching her Tiflus, because in particular, that causes, so Rashi explains, in other words, that what happens is the Torah makes her a more sly and crafty person. Torah molds a person's thoughts and makes him realize, like, ideas and ways to act that they didn't before, and therefore it makes her that now she's able to be more sneaky, for example, about her znus or whatever, where if she hadn't learned Torah, then she wouldn't have such abilities, according to the Rambam that we're talking about, that it's more like silliness. Then the point is that when she learns Torah, then she's not, she's learning it in a way where she thinks of it as it's a nice, interesting idea or whatever, but she doesn't have the full effect on her that it should. We talked about yesterday, the Rebbe once talked about that nowadays that girls learn the Mudei Chol, fine, they can, the Mudei Chol to them becomes tiflus, it becomes one big joke to them. The Torah they can learn on a more serious level. Tosfos, by the way, mentions in this connection that you have the famous idea, you have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, when it comes to Hakel, and this year is a year of Hakel, so it's appropriate to talk about, that we have, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah explains, why do the women come to Hakel when they don't necessarily understand what's being said, is they have the source that they're listening. Ben Azai, though, was saying, is disagreeing with that. According to him, the women should tackle be learning Torah at that time. Anyway.
Should
be learning Torah. In other words, the according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even if they understand what the king is reading, they're not really getting a schar of Talmud Torah as such, because we said before, women aren't chayiv in it. Their mitzvah is that they should be hearing what the king says. And then, as the Rambam said, it's like a mini recreation of Matan Torah. Mashenkin, according to Ben Azai, she should actually be learning Torah at that point.
Because
he says that chayiv adam lamed is bitter Torah, and this would be an example of that. Okay, so Amar Rabba Bo, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Where does Rabbi Eliezer get that teaching a woman Torah is like tiflus? And we're saying b'chlal that Torah makes a person more sneaky and more sly and sharp. The pasuk says, "Dichtiv ani chochma shachanti orma." The Torah says on itself, "I chochma have dwelt with orma." So that means orma means craftiness, like v'anochashay orum. So kibbutz nichnasa chokhma ba'adam, once chokhma of Torah goes into a person, nichnasa imoy almumis, together with it goes in a certain slyness, a certain sharpness, a certain mental sharpness. So therefore, so now the problem is, Now the problem is that a woman is not capable of being able to absorb that, and therefore she's going to end up using that sharpness and that slyness inappropriately. Again, of course, you always have exceptions to that. You have Bruria, for example. You have other examples, but still, actually, the Radal points out, when you get down to it, that's kind of what happened with Chava in the first place. She ate from the Eitz Hadas, Tovara. She got a certain das that she didn't have before, and we see what happened. So, yeah. Okay, so they want to ask Rabbanon. Now, what about the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, meaning Ben Azai? How does he learn that pasuk? Hayani Chochma Mai Avilei. What does he do with that pasuk? The Gemara answers, he uses it to teach us what Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina says. The Amr Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, Ein Divrei Torah Meskaimen Elab Misham Mamed Atzmai Orum Aleihem. Divrei Torah lasts only by a person who makes himself Orum on words of Torah. So Rashi gives two explanations. Orum can mean naked, so it means that he sets aside all his other business and is willing to become an oni and lacking everything in order to learn Torah. Or Rashi's second explanation is we still are learning the word orum as being related to the word orma, which means sneakiness and craftiness. What we mean is a person needs to be very, very sly and very sharp about how to work to get every bit of Torah from anybody that he can to learn from everybody. So Ben Azai would say that's the kind of orma we're talking about. We don't mean a kind of craftiness and sneakiness that then becomes something bad, which would be bad for a woman. Just the opposite. We mean you need that kind of mentality in order to be able to learn Torah. You need to be able to be sneaky about it, that I'm going to go wherever I can and then however I can and learn every scrap of Torah that I can. Because they say that's what the pasuk means, ani chochma shachanti arma. And the Gemara mentions another drosha similar to this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein divrei Torah b'skaimen elav mishem mesim atzmei k'misha einoi. Divrei Torah lasts by a person only if he considers himself as if he doesn't exist. He has bitul, in other words. No, yeah, you're right. No, that was before. That was before. That was in Rebbe Eliezer. Now we're saying Rabbanan, they said that. So now continuing, Divrei Torah lasts by a person only when he considers himself as though he doesn't exist. He has bitul. As the pasuk says, from where is chokhma found? And we also understand it to mean chokhma comes from ayin. Chochma comes from nothingness. So in other words, when a person feels himself to be nothing, when he has bittul, then he's able to learn Torah. We had back in the first parak that was one of the hespedim that was said for Moshe Rabbeinu when he passed away, because, and we said over there, Marshal explained, because he was the honor of Mikol Adam, he was the humblest of all people, and therefore from him, in him you had the chochma of Torah more than anybody else. As far as the ani chokma shachanti orma, by the way, Mavshah points out, there is a positive after all. So in that case, then if we're saying that our mimus is a problem, if according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're saying that when a person learns Torah, it brings a certain slyness into them, and therefore we're saying for a woman it's inappropriate, so why is it any better for a man? The difference is, he says, because a man, after all, is out and about in the world, he needs to be able to know what the Rishoyim are planning and to be able to counteract them. So he needs to have that slyness in order to know that kind of thing, as opposed to Noshim Dait and Kalos, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer is concerned they may use it inappropriately. Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi in that connection where one time a certain woman asked Rabbi Eliezer a question in Torah and he doesn't want to answer her, and his son Hukanos says, look at this, you know, you should know, we're Levi'im after all. Till now this woman was giving me her Meiser Rishon every year and I made a nice parnasa from it. Now she doesn't want her anymore. And Rabbi Eliezer says, I'm sorry to hear that, but nevertheless, I'm still not giving over Divrei Torah to women. So Rabbi Eliezer took a very harsh stand on that. Yeah. Anyway. So, okay. As far as what we're saying, that according to Rabbi Yosef Chanina, we're saying in divrei Torah meskaimen elav mishem mamed atzmei orum aleihem, where a person makes himself naked over Torah. And we said there are two explanations in Rashi. Yeah. One where it means taken naked, where he's willing to forego all the gashmius in order to learn Torah, and the other where he's sneaky and goes to find every possible way to learn Torah. So Marsha says a third possibility means that a person acts, of a person learns Torah, but he doesn't pride himself on it to say that he's a chacham. He acts as though he's bare of Torah. So that's the kind of person where Torah lasts by him. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Roitza Isha B'chola. We said Rabbi Yeshua says a woman would rather have a calf, a small amount of food, together with tiflus, which again we said tiflus means whether it means erva, whether it means silliness or whatever. She would rather have that, Rabbi Yeshua said, rather than nine kavim and prishus and staying away. So they want to ask my comma, what does Rabbi Yeshua mean? So hoch comma, roitza isha b'kav the tiflus imoi. She would rather have a kav together with tiflus that her husband is available for tashmish mitishas kavim or prishus, more than having nine kavim and having to stay away from her husband. So therefore, in other words, what happens is if Torah takes away from a person's tiflus, the point is, in other words, so we're saying that it doesn't fit with her nature, and therefore she's not going to like it. When a person learns Torah, it's supposed to be that it actually makes a person, on the contrary, not that it brings tiflus into a person, but rather that causes a person to realize that tiflus is something they should stay away from. But a woman doesn't want that; she wants her tiflus, even if it means that she has less mizonis. Tosfos discusses over here. Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim discuss first of all. We learned in the Mishnah, it means, for example, we talked about in Ksubas that you have the scenario where a woman's husband has a job in town and is more available for her for tashmish. Then he wants to get a higher paying job out of town and he's not going to be available as often. And we're saying that she can tell him that she doesn't want him to do that. Also Tosfos brings, you have the example also that we learned in Ksubas, you have the scenario where a man refuses to have relations with his wife, and we say we keep on adding to her Ksuba. As opposed to, we said you can have a case where the husband is giving food and money to his wife through a third party where there's a certain amount he gives. The point is, in other words, if we calculate it, Tosfos says it comes out that actually she's even though in the case where her husband is murdered, she keeps on getting more and more money for her ksuba. Nevertheless, she would prefer the other alternative where she's getting less but she has her husband available. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hu Ha Yo'omer, that Rabbi Yeshua used to continue and say, Chosid Shoyter Chuli. He mentioned a number of people that are Mevale Olam, that wear out the world. And the first one was Chosid Shoyter, a foolish Chosid. So the Gemara says, Hefi Dami Chosid Shoyter. What do we mean by that? So for example, going to Katova Itza Benara, a woman is drowning in a river, but Omran, he says, Lav Urdach Aralis to Kuli Bavatsula. It's not the proper way to look at her and to save her. It's not sneistic. And then she drowns. So that would be a Chosid Shoyter. Tosfos gives another example from the Yerushalmi. He sees a child drowning in a river. He says, well, I'm wearing my tefillin. I don't want my tefillin to get ruined. Let me take off my tefillin, and then I'll jump in and save him. Meanwhile, Rachman al-Tzlan, what happens to the kid? So that, those are examples of a chosid shoyt. The next one we had in the Mishnah was Rosha Orum, a sneaky Rosha. So Heifi Dami Rosha Orum, what's an example of that? So for that, we have a few different examples. Amar Rabbi Yechanan Zam Matim Dvarav L'Dayan Kodim Shiyavu Baal Din Chaveri. Means a person goes and tells the Dayan his side of the case before the Baal Din shows up. Now, you're not allowed to do that, Lahalacha, precisely because what happens is the Dayan, the first thing you hear, often has more of an impact on you. So now, therefore, when he hears it without the other guy being there, the Dayan is much more likely to have that becomes more ungenommen by him, that this is the way it is, and therefore he has a much harder time accepting what the other guy says. So the first guy does that. It's called Rosh Ha'orum. He's a Rosha, he's over on a lot in that, and he's Orum, he's sneaky about it because he could claim, so what did I do wrong? All I'm saying is what I'm going to be saying in based in anyway, but nevertheless, he did it in a wrong way. Rabbi Bohu is an noisin dinner only lahashlam zuz. Rabbi Bohu says it means a person who gives one dinner to a poor person where now it makes up that now he has 200 zuz and now he can't take leket, shikho, peya, or any of the other matnas aniyim anymore. Ditznan, as in fact we learned in the Mishnah and peya. Mi sheyeshle masayim zuz, a person who has 200 zuz, which is usually enough to live on for a year. Lo yita leket, shikho, peya, maisoni. He's not allowed to take any of those matnas aniyim. But hoyole masayim chosid dinner. But if he has 199, I feel elef noisim like achas arizito. Then he can take leket and shikha and so forth. Even if they give him 1,000 zuz at a time, even if they give him 1,000 zuz worth of it at a time, he can take it because at the time when they first offered it to him, he had less than 200. So now, therefore, if a person gives this only one zuz, so he's claiming, I'm giving him tzedakah. What do you want from me? But meanwhile, he's making it that the guy can now lose out on much greater things. Tosfos, in fact, brings from Yerushalmi. Can we wait a few more minutes with the conversation, please? Shloima, can we wait a few more minutes with the conversation, please? We're almost done over here. Thank you. Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi exactly such a case that happened with one of the Talmudim of Rebbe. Rebbe would give him every 3 years his Maisa Oni, and that was a Rebbe being very rich. His Maisa Oni was an enormous amount. One time, this guy's Chaverim gave him one Zuz, and then he realized he has 200 Zuz now, and he can't take anymore, and Rebbe had to tell some of his other Talmudim to take the guy to an inn and have him spend a little money on food and drink, and then he's back down below 200 Zuz, and he can take his Zaka. So that's an example of a Rosh Orim. Elsewhere, by the way, Marsha mentions a remez in it. The word tzedakah is gematria 199. So it's meramez that when a person has 199, it can take tzedakah, but 200 he can't. Anyway, another answer. Rav Asi Amar Rav Yechanan, Zehamasi Eitz Alinkur Ben Chosim Watim. This is when you have a person has left behind a small estate, not enough to support both the boys and the girls. It's supposed to be the boys inherit the property, but the girls are entitled to support until they become burgers or until they get married. So now when somebody gives advice to the boys who inherited the property to sell some of those nechosim, then that's an example of a Rosh Orim. The Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan, Yisoyimim Shekodmu U'Mochrum Nechosim U'atim, when the Yisoyimim have a small amount of estate, and before the girls come to Beis Din to get their mezonos arranged, the boys go and sell it off, the din is Masha Mochrum Mochrum, what they sold is sold, and the girls have no claim on it. So therefore, so a person who gives advice to do that is called a Rosh Orim, because he's preventing the girls from getting what they're supposed to be getting according to Tachanas Chachamim. Abaya Omer, Abaya says another one. Zahmasi Eitz Alimkur Ben Chosim Kerem Shimon Gamliel. This is a person who gives advice to another person to sell Nechosim in a case that Reb Shimon Gamliel talks about. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. If a person says Nechosai Lecha, I'm giving my possessions to you after 120, Va'acharecha Leploini, but I don't want that it becomes yours permanently. After you die, I want it to go to Ploini. So it's a life, only during your lifetime does it belong to you. So the Yara Derishon Mochar V'Ochal, if the first one, the first inheritor, goes and sells the property and consumes the money, Hasheni Motzi Miyad HaLakuchos, then the second one is able to take away the property from the buyers after the first one dies, because the S'chus isn't supposed to extend after he died. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. Reb Shimon Gamliel Ein La Oni Ein La Sheni Ein La Mashashi Rishon. Reb Shimon Gamliel says no. The second one only has whatever the first one left over, and like this, he sold it, so it's a done deal. So therefore, a person who gives him advice to do that is called a Rosha, because he's preventing the second one from getting what should rightfully be his. One, another one, Rabbi Yosef Achama Amar Rav Sheshet, Zamachriya Cherem Barachosav. This Rosh Orim refers to a person who tries to convince other people to go in his ways. He says to people, look what I'm doing, do like me. Now, why is he doing that? Because he's not Toichi Kibori. He's trying to pretend that he's a chosid and everybody should follow what he's doing. And really, he's using it to cover up his averes. Marshall gives another explanation that he gives people advice where he has an agenda in it of his own, that he's doing it in a way where it'll end up benefiting him, and they don't realize, they think he's doing it for good motives. Yeah. Another one, Rav Zrika Amar Rav Huna, Zam Mekel Atzmer Machmer L'Acherim, means person who's Mekel in Halacha for himself and is Machmer for others. So he's called a Rosh Orim because he's being Mekel inappropriately for himself, but he makes it look like he's being Machmer. People think he's being Machmer for others, he's being Machmer for himself as well. That's the Orim. And one more, Ula Amar, Zeshakar B'Shonav, L'Shem Ishtamer Chachamim, means a person who learned Mikra, learned Tanakh, and learned Mishnah, but he didn't serve Tamer Chachamim to actually learn from them the Svaris of Gemara. So therefore, he's a Rosha because he doesn't learn Torah properly, as we're going to learn and as we're going to discuss in great detail in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem. So because what happens is, without knowing the reasons behind the halachas, you may come to misapply them. You may come to say that something is Tomei when it's really Tahor, or vice versa, or whatever. But he's Orum because people see him learning Mishnayos. They think he's a big Talmid Chacham, and they don't realize that he doesn't really understand what he's talking about, the depths of what he's talking about, and they're going to come and get wrong conclusions from him. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking about the ins and outs of this Lo Shimish Tamar Chachamim and the problems when a person does that way versus when a person does learn Torah properly.
What's the exact